Okay, welcome into another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean, he's JJ.
Blue.
We are here to not discuss a Patriots game last weekend. Coming off the bye, we'll look back at some of those games from last weekend, preview what's happening next week, but we really just wanted to kind of, we're halfway through the season, take a look around, see what's been going on, see what we think is coming up next for the rest of the season. But real quick, there have been a couple roster moves since last week when we last spoke to you guys. So Dante Hightower moved to the IR, as everyone expected.
Yep.
His roster spot's being taken not by Shea McClellan, but instead by Ricky Jean Francois. How do you like that pronunciation?
It was good. It was nice.
Formerly of the Colts and Niners, and I guess he was on the Packers.
He was on the Packers for a little while.
Yeah, so it seems like his signing is related to Malcolm Brown's injury. Malcolm Brown missed, I think, the last two games and is still out of practice with an ankle injury. So they got to bring in some fatty up front. You can't just rely on Alan Branch and Lawrence Guy to be the only people up there. The fact that Shea McClellan is not being activated is a bit more concerning. You've been talking a lot about our lack of edge rush depth, and I was talking about Shea McClellan adding to that when he came back, and now that's not happening.
No. So, yeah, the way the rules work is once you're activated from, or once you start practicing with the team, which I think he did 2 weeks ago, you have 3 weeks to come back. Now, we didn't really know what his injury was up to this point. A lot of hearsay, but it came out that it was a concussion and that he had a setback in practices, meaning he probably got another concussion because they wouldn't have practiced him or even started practicing him if he was still showing signs and symptoms from his whenever he got the last concussion.
And they wouldn't call it a setback if he twisted his ankle or whatever.
Exactly. So now he's going to go to IR because we aren't going to be able to activate him by that 21-day clearance, which is what it is since you start practicing. And he's going back to the IR. And if it's with a concussion, obviously he's not playing this season on IR now, which screws us. There goes your edge rusher. For his future, it's looking pretty bleak because it's a concussion injury from a year ago, which is never a good sign. I mean, that's pretty bad. Plus, you're only designated two returns from the IR. And once you get somebody practicing from the IR, that qualifies as a designation. So there goes one slot. So now instead of bringing Vincent Valentine and Malcolm Mitchell back, like we would say, oh, yeah, we'll just forget about him, bring those two guys back. No, we still have to choose one of them because Shea McClellan is technically the first one, you know, the second one to do it or first one, however you want to put it.
Right, because he returned to practice.
So we got completely fucked on all ends of that deal.
No one screwed us over. That was nature doing
good
that.
Good old Shea McClellan for you.
Yeah, it's tough for him. The only guy,
Mr. Reliable,
the only guy that really comes to mind who's missed that much time with concussions was Brian Stork. That's really the only guy I can think of.
Yeah, and what happened to him?
And he's, as far as I know, he's not in the league. I think he caught on with the Jets for a minute after we let him go.
To the Redskins, then they let him go. And then he was gone. He didn't even last there.
Yeah, that was it.
He was out of the league within that year, I think.
It's a scary injury.
I mean, that's it.
Got to be as careful as you can with that. But yeah, that really wrecks the defensive end depth. And for a guy who could have flexed to the inside as well. So now we're really stuck with Trey Flowers and Van Noy and Cassius Marsh, Dietrich Wise to some extent, although he's better with his hand on the ground than doing some of the stand-up stuff we ask our edge players to do.
Yeah.
It's thin. Marquise Flowers, maybe he can show up a little bit more in the second half than he did in the first half.
Should have made a trade, but hey, I didn't want to make a trade.
There's like nobody out there. Where are you going to go?
Somewhere. There's always somewhere to go.
Okay. Robert Mathis, come on back.
There's a couple of free agents out there. I don't think we're going to go with any of them. Jared Audrick, Mario Williams, to name a few.
Mario Williams is done.
You think so?
Oh, he's done. Did you see him in Miami? Oh, wow. There was nothing left.
Yeah. I mean, there's nowhere to go now. So now we just kind of got to ride it out.
Yeah.
And Ricky Jean Francois, like you said, he is a D tackle. And he's not much of a pass rusher. He's just a big old
big old boy
and, you know, rotational type player.
Yeah, he's over the hill now. He used to be a starter. Now he's more of a backup rotational guy, like you said.
Yep.
I think that if he plays well, or if Malcolm Brown comes back soon, either one of those things happens, then I think it's Malcolm Mitchell that comes off the IR. And if neither of those things happen, I think it's Vincent Valentine.
Maybe.
Depending on, we don't know anything about their injury situations and how they've progressed, other than Belichick said offhandedly that Malcolm Mitchell has been making progress.
He did. He's in the locker room at least. We haven't heard anything about Vincent Valentine.
Yeah, but so, the fact that they added another D tackle, some guy who could probably contribute, and then you also have a guy like Malcolm Brown coming back.
Right.
It seems like it's more pressing to get Malcolm Mitchell right. than Vincent Valentine.
Especially if Hogan, he didn't practice this week either. Amendola is limited.
Always.
So you know, there's not, we don't know. Hogan doesn't seem like it's going to be a long injury where he's out, but you know.
They said a couple weeks.
It's a couple weeks, right.
They're maybe 4 weeks, up to 4 weeks.
So, right. So he's definitely coming back at some point, but you don't know how long it's going to be. So, it's just, you know, it's the injury bug, and it's funny. It's not just catching us. It's catching the whole fucking league.
Everyone.
The whole league is just, like, falling apart with injuries this year.
Everyone's talking about that in, like, the story of the first half of the season is injuries.
Yeah.
It's like Aaron Rodgers playing out of his skull, and then he goes down, broken collarbone. Deshaun Watson led the NFL in touchdown passes and didn't play, or he didn't start week one at 19 touchdown passes through 6 weeks, 7 weeks, however many games he was able to play. He goes down with an injury out of nowhere.
In practice, tears his ACL.
Yeah. Not to mention J.J. Watt, Whitney Mercilus, Julian Edelman. The list goes on and on.
Yeah.
And they're big players with catastrophic injuries.
Yeah. It's not like little things here. It's all torn knees, ligaments.
And it happens at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And this is a big thing that people are talking about is with the limited off-season work that you're allowed to put in with the new CBA, are people just not in full contact shape? Are they not ready to take the decisive cuts that they're making in the game? Is that why ligaments are giving out? Do they not have enough time with trainers to work on imbalances in their body, you know, muscle imbalances that'll pull you overly in one direction or the other? Another talking point about that is how poorly the offensive lines have played.
Yeah.
Pretty much pass protection has been god awful league wide essentially.
Yeah, there's really outside not of like, that many good
like Cowboys, Eagles, that's about it.
Yeah, we've seen like historically bad offensive lines this year.
Exactly. And they're thinking that because offensive line play is so technical and you need so many repetitions to be able to, you know, work on your skill set that by limiting everybody to so few practices, I think you're allowed to do a pads on practice on average once a week during the season, and like it's really limited in the off season. No two a days, no nothing. So by scaling everything back so much, you're actually making people worse, and you're making
maybe
them more injury prone. Perhaps I don't
know. Definitely it's an interesting conversation.
Yeah, I think that's going to be part of the next CBA is going to be expanding practice a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I think the players will try to trade that for lessening Goodell's power, but I think the NFL is going to drive a pretty hard bargain on that.
Let's see, Jerry Jones is going to sue the NFL if he gets signed to a new CBA contract.
If Goodell does?
Yeah.
Wait, Jerry Jones.
No, I'm sorry. If he signs, yeah, I saw the headline come across. He's going to, if the NFL signs a new contract with Goodell, he's going to sue.
Why?
Because he's an asshole.
No. What's the basis for the, because he doesn't get to choose by himself. It's 24 out of 32 owners get to decide who the commissioner is. It's a majority thing. Not a majority thing. It's a three-quarters thing. It's like the Senate.
All right.
Yeah, it's 24 out of 32 owners have to agree on something. Something like substantial, like
right.
CBA or who's the commissioner, stuff like that. Okay, you're digging into it.
Threatens to sue NFL over Roger Goodell.
Good.
First thing that pops up.
Good.
If the contract extension is approved, he's going to sue. What are the reasons?
Well, he doesn't like the way he's treated the Ezekiel Elliott case. And I do you wonder if enough teams get screwed over by just this ridiculous disciplinary proceedings that will reach the majority, and then they'll be like, all right, we got to change this shit. Because right now it's like the Pats, obviously, with Deflategate, Ezekiel Elliott, when the Chiefs lost like a third round pick for doing the exact same thing that the Jets did, and they lost like a seventh round pick, and everyone's like, no, they did the same thing.
What'd they do?
I can't remember exactly. It might have been tampering with Jeremy Maclin.
Yeah, it was some tampering thing. Yeah,
it might have been that. But it was identical.
They're saying that he has not identified the grounds of what the lawsuit is.
Okay, so
he's looking to see if it's even attainable.
Yeah,
but that's where he's at,
man.
That's where he's at.
Everyone's getting sick of it.
Yeah, well, it's just stupid. But yeah, we don't need to harp on this for too long.
Yeah, I think the CBA is good for another 3 years, and I'd be surprised if they end it early. Other stories from the first half of the season. I mean, you got to go with the Eagles, obviously.
They're just owning it. Yeah.
7-1. We watched them play the Broncos this weekend and just annihilated them. It was 51-23, and I think it was a worse beating than even that score represents.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was horrific. Their defensive line is outstanding. I'm looking at their top five pass rushers, and there's not a weak link amongst them. They're all playmakers.
Very good players.
Offensive line is terrific. Losing Jason Peters hurts massively, and I think that's going to rear its head at some point going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Skill players run the game, run the ball. Carson Wentz is playing outstanding right now.
He's in the lead for the MVP race right now.
That's what they say, but we'll see.
You never know. You never know. In that division, Dallas is 5-3, not a big surprise. Washington's still staying with it. The biggest surprise there is the New York Giants, who are pretty much have completely crumbled. Everyone's calling for the coach now is going to be fired.
Yeah,
Everyone said that it's generally the Maras who own the franchise. They own the Giants, or is it the different? Do they own the Steelers? Who owns the?
They own part of the Giants.
Okay, well, the Giants, you know, people in charge of the Giants, they got the owners usually wait till after the season. They don't like to get any in season drama type thing. They're more old school like that, and everyone's like, well, they don't fire coaches during in season. Well, they might change that tune because
they might have to.
They're saying that he lost the whole locker room. Players are pissed. It's no big surprise there.
That team had maybe a worse blowout this weekend against the Rams.
Yeah, they got destroyed.
At home in New York.
And they're talking about drafting quarterbacks and stuff too. And it's like, Eli won two Super Bowls. I don't know if people forget that.
Yeah,
like,
but he's also 37.
He's old, sure. Yeah.
36 maybe.
I think he's 30. I don't think he's 37 yet, but the guy's got no receivers and no offensive line. It's like, what do you think he's going to do with any of that? What do you think anyone's going to do with any of that? Nothing.
Yeah, he's pretty fucked.
The NFC North.
Wait. I just want to say something real quick about the Cowboys. Cowboys look great this weekend against Kansas City. They really took it to them. I think if they lose Zeke, if this suspension comes back, which I expect it to, I think that really throws their offense for a loop.
Oh, they're fucked.
Yeah.
They're fucked.
They're back. Alfred Morris, Darren McFadden, whoever else they're going to put out there at running back is not the playmaker Zeke is. And you say, oh, it's all about the offensive line. Yeah, to an extent. But Ezekiel Elliott is a premier running back.
They are fucked.
Yeah, and they run so much off of their running game. All the play action, everything it does to the pass rush, everything it does to coverages you're going to see. You're going to see an eighth guy in the box when you got Zeke in there, and when you don't, it's going to be better, or they're going to have much better coverage. Dak's not the same player without Zeke next to him.
No, not at all. I mean, I guarantee you can look at those three losses and see that they had a bad running game.
Yeah, didn't Zeke miss a game or two at some point?
He missed a game. He had a real bad game they got blown out of, and I can't remember the last one, but I bet it has something to do with it.
Yeah, when he's in there and playing well, they're an elite team. They really are. But when he's not in there, it's totally different.
Yeah. NFC North, Minnesota has an incredible defense.
Yep.
They're kicking the shit out of people. Points allowed, they're one of the lowest in the league by far.
Yeah, that defense is really, really good. And it has been for a couple of years now. They're really putting it together. They got depth all over the place. Offensively, Case Keenum is playing better than Sam Bradford ever played for them.
Yeah, Sam Bradford gets hurt. You move along in that division. Detroit Lions are still fighting for survival. The Packers have lost to Rodgers, as we said, and their offense is a complete shell of itself, obviously.
Yeah.
So we don't know if they're going to be able to do anything.
They're saying they won't.
Rodgers may be able to come back, but at that point it might be too late. The Bears have made a few surprising wins, but they suck. The South, New Orleans is taking that division, which is stunning to me.
And their defense is middle of the pack.
Yeah, they're good enough. They're good enough. They used to be terrible.
Yeah.
The Panthers just can't seem to string things together here. It's like they have a great defense, they look good, and then they look terrible. Then they look good, and then they look terrible.
Yeah, they're so Jekyll and Hyde.
It's crazy. I mean, Cam Newton threw three touchdowns against us, and like I feel like a week later or 2 weeks later, he threw three interceptions for touchdowns.
And looked horrible in the process.
It's like, what happened? Atlanta Falcons are 4-4, which I feel like aren't a huge surprise just because the Super Bowl they lost is really tough to come back from, but they still have a chance. They still got a chance to get in there. And then Tampa is the biggest surprise. They're just god-awful.
Yeah, Tampa really, that's another coach that I don't know if he sees the rest of the season.
Maybe, yeah, probably not. I mean, they're bad.
And they have all the talent in the world. Jameis is hurt now, so maybe that's a little bit of an excuse, a little reprieve from yeah. the axe, but it's looking real bad down there.
Real bad. NFC West, LA Rams, got to be one of the biggest surprises of the football season up to this point.
I got Sean McVay as my coach of the year so far.
I think a lot of people do. I mean, this is what was he, like 34?
I think he's like 30, like 31 maybe.
He's a young guy. He's younger than probably half of his roster for the same age. And this guy's got a 6-2 team, the best offensive in football right now. And they don't
highest
even
scoring
have
team in football.
Highest scoring team, which is stunning because Jared Goff, I mean, he played great last week or pretty damn good. But like leading up to this, he had, I mean, you've harped on it. Like there was a game they won and he had seven passes or something, eight passes.
No, that was the Bears.
That was the Bears, Trubisky.
That was Trubisky, yeah. That wasn't Goff. Okay. Goff's been playing well.
But there's been games where he doesn't even throw the ball, too. I don't know how that's possible.
Well,
but
Todd Gurley is a borderline MVP candidate right now.
Yeah, he's playing like
he's like a dark horse MVP candidate. Yeah. And so Goff isn't being asked to do as much as Carson Wentz,
mm-hmm.
and therefore he's not producing as much. But he's not playing badly by any stretch. He's playing pretty well. They are fifth in total offense in the league right now, and they are... Let me see, 12th in passing offense. They're doing pretty well.
Yeah.
They do have 9 interceptions on the season. Wait, 4 interceptions. There we go. Much better.
Yeah.
Much, much better.
Pretty damn good.
They're crushing that. I love the way that Sean McVay is splitting up responsibilities on the coaching staff. McVay does the offense. Wade Phillips does the defense. Wade Phillips is a Hall of Fame type defensive coordinator.
Yeah, definitely.
And at so this point, absolutely. He just gets out of the way. He just goes, look, Wade, you know what you're doing. Yeah. You got plenty of talent over there. Take care of business. And he handles this offense, which has been a zero. This offense has been essentially a negative for the past
decade. Years. And yeah. They're killing it.
They're, as you said, number one scoring team in the NFL, number 5 total offense.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I would never have thought of that before the season. Seattle is one game behind in that division.
Offensive line, man. There it is.
Their offensive line's terrible. Their defense is good. It's not as dominant as years past, but it's still definitely pretty damn good. And their offense is good, but their offensive line sucks. So they're having some issues.
Same problems they've been having for years.
Yeah. You know what usually happens with those teams?
Quarterback
gets hurt. They finally hit a point and everything starts crumbling. And then, yes, the quarterback gets hurt. So they better learn from the Colts real fast. Arizona is just falling apart. They're 4-4. I can't even believe they're 4-4. That's good for them. I mean, they do play San Francisco twice. So, and then you got the good old San Francisco 49ers at a good old 0-9. I think people kind of saw that coming, but what do you expect?
Of course.
Off the AFC real quick. Obviously, Patriots, we lead the division with all the turmoil we've had this season. We are still number one. We have the second best, tied for the second best record in the league. So that's all nice and dandy there.
Yep.
Buffalo, big surprise. We've mentioned them a little bit. Miami sucks, but they're still 4-4. And the Jets are 4-5, and they just beat Miami. So AFC East is actually pretty fucking good compared to the rest of the league right now.
It is. And the Dolphins have looked terrible offensively. Jets, yeah. There's something going on with the Jets. I thought for sure Todd Bowles was a lame duck coach, and he's been killing it. He's getting that team to play.
Yeah, definitely.
And what's the Bills coach's name? I want to say McDonough. But I think I'm just a little bit off.
I can't remember. I don't know.
Whatever his name is, the guy that came over from the Panthers, he is in the race for Coach of the Year as well, in my book. Depending on how they finish, obviously they're 5-3. If they finish 6-10, no. But if they finish 11-5, you bet your ass he's right at the top of that list.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you got the AFC North, which everyone always expects to be such a strong division. Very weak this year. I got Pittsburgh Steelers. They're doing what they're supposed to. The Ravens are 4-5.
Somehow.
They look like a train wreck. I don't even know how they have 4 wins, but they look terrible.
This is the third time you've already said this, and I feel exactly the same way. How are some of these teams, which have looked so bad, How are some of them even remotely close to 500?
I don't know.
The Dolphins, the Ravens, the Cardinals. These teams have looked god awful.
Like terrible, terrible football we're talking.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco has looked like not even a shell of him sort.
It looks like he should get
a speck
cut.
Of dust compared to his formal self. Like I don't know. I don't even know how he's like, what happened, dude? What happened? I know they don't have a ton of offensive weapons, but like it looks bad for him. The Bengals are just falling apart. I really think I've been calling for Marv Lewis to get fired for years, and I think it's finally time.
Yeah. I think he's gonna go 7-9 and he's gonna save it somehow.
It doesn't matter. He should get cut. They had so much talent the last couple of years, and now finally they really don't. It's like he kind of missed his window again.
Yeah,
the third or fourth time, and they didn't even get to they get the playoff once?
No, they got the playoffs like 4 years in a row. Andy Dalton got to the playoffs, I think his first four seasons in the NFL.
And they lost every single game.
You see AJ Green throwing haymakers, trying to choke people out. He's not happy. He's your best player.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's a sad state of affairs. Andy Dalton, I think his contract, there's an out after the season, so they might move on from Andy Dalton. They just tried to trade AJ McCarron. It's like, why don't you just give him a shot? See if he's good. See if you want to keep him around, or at the very least, just up his value, because it doesn't seem like they want to keep Andy Dalton around, really.
Yeah. It's going to get worse before it gets better.
For a team that had everything going for it the last three, four years.
It's definitely getting worse before it gets better, too, over there.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about the Browns. Let's just
Then the lowly Browns, 0-8. The AFC South, which is probably the biggest surprise, you got Tennessee and Jacksonville tied for first. Jacksonville has the best defense in the league.
The best scoring defense, I believe.
And the number one pass defense.
Those things usually go together.
They are crushing people.
Yeah.
They have, they're putting points on, pressure on people all over the place. All those defensive guys you talked about all earlier this year, how great they are. They are playing no tomorrow.
Yeah, I went on a screed about how mad I was at that organization
they weren't good
for squandering talent, and it's like they listened.
Yeah,
it really is.
They put it together somehow.
And they figured out that they got to handcuff Blake Bortles.
Literally.
You just run the ball, you throw it short when you have to. Otherwise, just take sacks and let the defense do everything.
Right? They feel like the Texans of a couple years ago when they had such a great defense and they were like literally a quarterback from being really good.
Yeah, a quarterback from being really good, but using the one they have to not beat themselves.
Yeah.
Like that's his job, is to not lose. Blake Bortles does not win games.
No, he's doing bad.
He's doing pretty much the best he's ever done.
Well, he did really bad, and then they were like, all right, stop.
This is it.
And then now he's doing okay, because they're like, yeah, we're not giving you the ball.
Yeah, Texans injuries.
Houston, they had it going for him. They just got injured, and there's really nothing you can say about that. And the Colts are 3-6. They have a huge debacle on their hands where Andrew Luck was supposed to play. He was supposed to come back. Now they're 3-6, and he goes, yeah, I don't think I'm coming back anymore. He guaranteed everyone he was going to play this year.
Did he?
I think he did. He was like, I'm playing this year. Oh. And they all said, oh, he's playing this year. He's coming back. I'm playing this year. And now he's not playing this year.
And
he's out for the season.
Not.
And they're saying it might be career threatening because they don't know what's wrong with him.
Well, he got shoulder surgery in like January, right?
Yeah.
And if he's not ready to play within 9 months, I think he should call up Peyton Manning, take a couple trips to Germany, get some stuff shipped to his wife at his doorstep, and we'll see you next year.
Yeah, right. That could be a funny situation. I wonder. He's locked up for a while there too, isn't he?
He's sitting. He just got his massive contract just this year.
Oh, another move by the Colts. I gotta love it.
I think it was like $85 million guaranteed. It was something.
Oh, it's a shitload. It's something retarded.
Andrew Luck is sitting in a comfortable chair, just rewatching Jacoby Brissett getting the shit kicked out of him repeatedly every week, and he's going, I'm not doing this shit.
Yeah, what are you kidding? I just made $85 million.
Would you sign somebody, draft some offensive linemen? This is an embarrassment.
They've had the same problem for years, and now they're trying to trade away their team because they suck. Mm-hmm. All right, off to the AFC West real quick. The Chiefs, everyone, started off 6-0. Now they're 6-3. They're starting to cool down a little bit. Still a good team. But the Raiders are slow, 4-5 behind them. You look at this division, and then LA's 3-5, Denver's 3-5. It's like, this was supposed to be the strongest division in football.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not. Like, by any means is that the strongest football. It's not even close anymore.
No. That's definitely not the story. I would argue probably the NFC East. They got three teams that are playoff worthy.
NFC East, NFC South, and
nah,
us.
Nah.
The South has two teams that are six wins.
We just talked about how up and down the Panthers have been. I'm not ready to buy true. In fully yet.
You already bought into them.
I know. I said earlier that they were going to be one of the best teams, and look at that. They're playing. They have one of the better records. In the AFC West, I just want to point out real quick, the Broncos and Chargers are both 3-5. The Broncos' point differential on the season, how many points they've scored versus how many points they've given up, they are a -48 in points.
Yeah.
That is off, bad. Over their eight games that they've played so far, they average losing by six. And the Chargers, over eight games, also 3-5, -2. That is the devastation of being a Chargers fan, which there aren't many.
Yeah.
But -2 point differential for the season, they're 3-5.
Yeah.
Brutal. The Texans, point differential, they're +21. They're also 3-5.
That sucks.
Broncos that need a quarterback.
So bad.
It seems like they found out that Trevor Simeon's
not
the guy. Miami,
-63. Somehow they're 4-4.
Yeah. Some teams get blown the F out, man.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think the funniest thing about this year is it seems like for everybody, for all the turmoil that every team has gone through, most of the records have kind of ended up like where you thought.
Exactly. We spent...
For the most part. I mean, obviously, there's a few that we talked about that are a little different, but, you know, like the Patriots.
Yeah.
All
or,
the
or the Steelers. We or talked the Steelers. About the Steelers. They look like garbage, and they'll look at that, 6-2, just as you would have expected.
Jacksonville. Everyone thought they were going to be terrible. There they are, 5-3. Like, they went through a lot of shit. Now they're actually pretty good. I mean, it's kind of everyone's kind of falling into where close to where you expected based on the talent they had at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I hear you. Now, also off the field, Colin Kaepernick is suing the NFL for collusion about not letting him, you know, play on a team.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking after Deshaun Watson went down, do you bring in Kaepernick? I think the Texans and the Browns should both sign Kaepernick. And
I don't see why not.
I'll tell you why. The Texans, because Kaepernick would fit what DeSean Jackson was doing. Similar Watson. Athletic type
Deshaun,
players.
DeSean Watson.
Did I say that wrong?
You said Jackson.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, DeSean Watson. My boy. DeSean with a U. And so I think he would fit in pretty good. Tom Savage obviously has nothing to add to that team right now.
No, they've moved on from him like four times. I don't even know how he's still on the team.
The problem with the Texans doing that is they're 3-5 and they have their defense is virtually crippled as well. So they really don't have aspirations to do much this season. So it'd be a short-term band-aid versus the Browns. The Browns have no fucking idea what they're doing at quarterback. No
or
idea.
Anything.
It's you're starting, now you're bench, now you're starting again, and the whole thing. Oh, you play the first quarter, he plays the second quarter. Bring in Kaepernick. He's 30 years old. 30. He's not old for a quarterback at all. This is a guy who took a team to a Super Bowl and then was a very good quarterback for a few years after that. The whole team collapsed around him. All I'm saying is that he has more potential to be the Browns' next franchise quarterback than anyone that's on their roster currently.
I don't disagree with it.
You're 0-8. Why not find out?
Absolutely. All I can say is, based off what we just went through and talked about, is I can see a huge mix-up of quarterbacks and teams going in next year compared to this year.
For sure. They're going to be
like,
all over.
This is going to be a weird, you know, Bortles, Dalton, Kaepernick still out there. Kirk Cousins, and so many teams without quarterbacks right now.
Exactly. A.J. McCarron's going to be on the open market. Who knows? Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't signed an extension yet.
I mean, it's going to be a little carousel there.
And Carson Palmer might retire. You don't know what Eli Manning, Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers, what those guys might do.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be mayhem. And I got to say, if I am an agent of a quarterback in college, fucking declare, come out.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of quarterback needy teams, and they're going to be trading up like crazy. We saw what happened last year with an average at best quarterback class.
Yeah. With Mitch Trubisky leading it, and everyone went nuts for him.
Trade up to number 2 for Trubisky. Trade up to number 10 for Mahomes. Trade up to number 12 for Deshaun Watson. They're trading up for quarterbacks, and it's going to continue. Get out of college. Get that. I'm just playing. You want to be successful at the next level, and most of those guys aren't ready. Josh Rosen, I'm looking at you, even though he's going to come out.
Yeah. Yep. So it's definitely, I mean, a lot of turmoil, I feel like, in this NFL season. A lot of turmoil. What else do we got here?
I mean, we could talk about the Broncos.
Let's move on to the Broncos.
Okay. So the Broncos have had a topsy-turvy season, to say the least. They've had some good games, had some poor games. It really goes by how the quarterback has played, and they just haven't had that much good quarterback play at all this season. So they start out the year 3-4. They beat the Chargers, Cowboys, and Raiders. I think they beat the Raiders without Derek Carr, though.
Mm-hmm.
And that went well. And since then, 0-4.
Not so good.
I think, like, the lock of my life, not really the lock of my life, but the lock of the year for me was the Giants going into Denver on Sunday Night Football about a month ago. The Giants had just lost all the receivers, Beckham and Sterling Shepard. They were all down with injuries. They're going into Denver to face the 3-1 Broncos, who got one of the best home field advantages in the league. Yeah. The Giants' offensive line hadn't blocked anybody so far in the season.
And their whole team is terrible.
Yeah, they're going to see Von Miller and Shane Ray and the whole thing. And the Giants beat the fuck out of the Broncos that night.
Beat the shit out of them.
It's like, holy shit. And then come back the next week, Chargers shut out the Broncos 21-0. Then the Broncos lose on Monday Night Football to the Chiefs, and then they get massacred by the Eagles last week. It's been one of the ugliest months in recent memory for a Broncos fan.
Oh, yeah. And you're right. It really, Simeon looked legit for the first three games, and then after that, nothing. Obviously, he's getting shut out here and there, and it's just like everything started snowballing for him. I mean, you look at their defensive snaps. Obviously, everyone thinks they're one of the best defenses in the league. They've been one of the best defenses in the league. They got a ton of talent. They're number two in yards, total yards, letting up 280, which is damn good. Fourth against the pass, fifth against the rush, 26th against in points.
Yeah, it's outrageous.
Almost 24.8 points a game, almost 25. The 51 they let up to the Eagles kind of skews that number a little bit, but still, I mean, we're talking about eight games.
Yeah, a lot of that has to do with turnovers. A lot of that has to do with the offense throwing pick sixes, fumbling the ball, just turning it over in your own end and giving short fields.
They're getting sacked. They're just doing everything badly.
Trevor Siemian has been sacked 25 times this year.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Their third down conversion is 28 for 105.
Really bad. Really bad.
Really bad.
You want to be over 40%, preferably over 50, and they're under 30. That might be right there with the number one defense against on third downs. I bet the number one team defense on third down percentage is probably right around 30%.
It's close. 44 for 117. So yeah, pretty close.
That's
a little over, but
oh my god, they're worse on third. Yeah. Look, they've had real struggles on offense. Emmanuel Sanders was banged up for a little bit. He got hurt in that Giants game. But there's talent around the quarterback. The problem is they've already committed to playing Brock Osweiler again against the Patriots this upcoming weekend.
Which makes no sense.
Why would you do that?
Terrible.
I get that they said Paxton Lynch is physically unable to go at this point, although he has been throwing and maybe even practicing. Trevor
Siemian, he hurt?
They said he was hurt.
Okay.
And the fact of the matter is Trevor Siemian was turning the ball over too much to play him. In his last three games as a starter, he turned the ball over 11 times.
Oof.
Yeah. Yeah. Oof. So they had to make a move, and I guess Paxton Lynch wasn't ready, so you got to go with Osweiler. But you know he doesn't give you a good chance to win. You know that.
You got rid of him because he sucked.
And then made a big public display of your sigh of relief that he was no longer with your team.
Yeah.
And then you bring him back, and then you let him play.
It's like,
what?
Why'd you do that? I don't get it. I mean, yeah, the guy, his first game back, he went 21 for 42. 50, I can't even say it, 50% completion.
It's hilarious.
God-awful. One touchdown he did throw, two interceptions. Took three sacks as a 54.3 quarterback rating. Just not good. I mean, everyone knows what he is. The fucking Browns got rid of him because he sucked. Browns.
They're
the 0-8 Browns.
They're paying him, I think, about $15 million not to be on their team.
Literally.
So, yeah.
Terrible.
Everyone knows how bad he is. Now, surrounding him on offense is good talent, as we've seen before. It's not overwhelming. Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, everybody knows those guys. In the backfield, they still have C.J. Anderson. He's a guy that has gashed the Pats in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I saw Matt Patricia talking about how difficult he can be to bring down in the open field. He's good laterally, runs with power.
Wasn't there a game a couple years ago when it was snowing and it looked like everyone was on skates except for him? Was that him?
Yeah, that was him. That was 2015, and that was the Brock Osweiler coming out party.
Yeah.
That was a $72 million game for Brock Osweiler. Good. Literally. Well done. Yeah, he won. Yeah. He beat the Pats on Sunday Night Football in overtime.
Yep.
God damn it, that Patrick Chung holding call in the end zone will haunt me for a long fucking time. I can't believe that call.
Jesus, it's been long enough. So they've also got Jamal Charles back there, 4.4 yards per average. Decent coming back from injury. They also have Devontae Booker, who's not playing that much.
He's more of a passing back at this point in his development. Which I didn't see coming. Now, at tight end, they have Virgil Green, who's more of a blocker, who's actually a really good athlete, and our old friend, A.J. Derby, who can make some spectacular catches, as we've seen from his time in a Patriots and Broncos jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And offensive line was a real, real big problem for them last year, and they wanted to address it, so they went out and they got Ronald Leary, who was a starter on that Cowboys offensive line, so they got the fifth wheel on their O-line, plugged him in, whatever. Matt Paradise at center is a good player, and they spent a first-round pick, Garrett Bowles, a kid out of Utah, who, anybody watched the draft, he was the one palming the baby, just walking around, swinging that thing. So everyone was like,
the huge nut, yeah.
Yeah, everyone's like, dude, it's a tiny little baby. Just put it down.
Yeah.
But he's played well. From everything I've heard, they're very pleased with what they've gotten out of him. It should be better. But it just speaks to how important quarterback is.
Yeah.
And they can't get anything.
Helps team confidence.
Another team that's going to have a quarterback change next year.
Yeah.
Now, defensively, we know the names. Derek Wolfe, Vaughn Miller, Brandon Marshall, Aqib Talib, Chris Harris. You know those guys. Mm-hmm. They got rid of TJ Ward, so I think Gronk can breathe a sigh of relief going into this game.
Knock on wood.
Replaced him with Justin Simmons, a third-round pick from last year. They still have Darian Stewart, free safety. There's just a stupid amount of talent on this team, on this defense. Yeah. It's
Brandon Marshall in the middle. It's a lot of guys.
Todd Davis has played pretty well for them, also on the inside. Shaq Barrett has been a good edge rusher in sub situations. Domata Peko, longtime Bengal, is there clogging stuff up in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
It is a championship caliber defense still. Now, Wade Phillips is no longer there. As I mentioned before, he's on the Rams. Vance Joseph, I don't think he calls the defense, but he's a defensive guy. So I know he's got a lot of influence on what they do on that side of the ball, formerly from the Dolphins last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a real problem. And the Pats historically don't play very well in Denver, although we did squeak out a win last year, but it was hard fought.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember because I was there.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be an interesting game. It's like, this is a great defense, but they let up 51 of the Eagles. Now, the Eagles are playing great, but without Chris Hogan now, and where do we match up there? You know, if the Eagles can score 51, I'd assume we can score 30.
I mean, you would think so, but
it's tough to measure things like that. But I mean, it's also the Patriots. So the Patriots and the Broncos have had one of the better rivalries for out of division in recent years. So they're going to be up for this game. They're going to want to play this game. This is a game that they think if they win, they could turn the ship around a little bit here.
Without a doubt. If you're 4-5 after beating the Patriots, you're completely in it. And if you are 3-6 after losing at home your fifth straight game, you're out of it.
Yeah.
This is their backs against the wall.
This is it. So they're coming off the problem with them, the bad luck for them is that they're coming off of the worst loss they've had in probably 5 years. I mean, I can't think of any time in the last so many years that they've let up 51. And the Patriots are coming in off of a bye, who relatively do pretty good off a bye. I think they're going to give up some points. And the problem is, even if they don't give a lot of points up, they're not going to be able to score shit.
Why would you think that?
Well, we have Gilmore coming back this week. Real Roe might be coming back this week. Uh-huh. Our defense has only been giving up, 13 or 14 points in the last 5 games?
I know, but it's so fickle. I feel like our defense could fall apart at any moment.
I don't think they're going to be able to score. I mean, there might be 10 points, maybe 13. It's so one-dimensional. I mean, they're going to be like, all right, let's stop the run. Make sure the guys don't get outside of you. Brock Osweiler is terrible. He can't have any confidence in himself.
He's got nothing to lose. He has absolutely nothing to lose right now. He's on Sunday Night Football against the Pats, playing at home in front of fans that hate him. He's got nothing to lose. I feel like he's just going to go back there and just sling it. Just let it rip. He threw some of the nicest, I've said this way too many times, but some of the nicest deep balls I've ever seen in that game that we mentioned in 2015.
Well, that's the only thing that worries me. That could worry me because, you know, when teams do come out and sling it against our teams or against our defense this year, that's when they've been very successful. And for some reason, people stop doing that.
I know.
I don't know why, but hey. I'm not mad about it.
I think the best coverage, this is why it's also a problem. I think the best coverage we can play against them is Gilmore on Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders covered one-on-one against Malcolm Butler. And then, you know, Chung matches up with whoever else, Jonathan Jones, Batamosi, if he's, in the right position. And then have a single high safety in the middle. And so just man, cover one, send some heat at the quarterback, send five. And the weakness against that the coverage weakness for that defense is deep along the sidelines, and so that's one of the reasons why I'm also pretty worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
Look,
yeah, I don't have any faith in Brock. I really don't. I think he's gonna suck.
I don't have any faith in our defense.
I have more faith in our defense than I do in Brock Eisweiler.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. I got the Pats.
I did say
winning
that 2 years ago in when we played them. I was like, I have no faith. We're gonna kill Brock Osweiler. He won't be able to do shit against our defense. And he lit us up.
He did, but that was only his second start. We didn't really know who he was.
True.
We have a much better idea, and he's got psychic scars to show for it.
Yeah.
I got the Pats 20-16. I think it's gonna be pretty tight. I think it's gonna be pretty boring. It's gonna be a lot of hard fought three and outs going both ways.
Yeah. Well, I think once again you're going to see a lot out of our receiving running backs. I think they're going to have a big game just like they did last game, and I'm going to say 28-10.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, that's insane. Look, Hogan's not going to play.
Also, we did not mention what just happened within the last couple hours.
Wait. Right before you bring that up, I want to just point out Hogan's not going to play this week,
mm-hmm.
which leaves us with Brandon Cooks, Philip Dorsett, and Amendola at limited. And also, Nate Solder and Marcus Cannon both missed practice. Solder and Cannon both missed practice on Tuesday, and Cannon was still out of practice on Wednesday. Okay, and Von Miller back. Traditionally rushes
lines up
off
against
the offense's right side.
Well, they know that.
I know they know that. Just saying.
Yeah, I know. Vaughn usually does well. All right. No, I'm not changing it. Fuck it. I already said I'm not changing.
Okay.
Anyways, so what I was about to bring up was, in a bit of a shocker, Martellus Bennett, who is signed with the Packers. He's been there. He was injured last week. He was ruled out this week. Was just cut by the team for not disclosing an injury.
Is that really what they said?
That's what they said. Now,
why do you get cut for that?
I don't know.
The only thing, could it have been a concussion that he didn't disclose?
Shoulder injury. He's not missing it because he's missing the games because of a shoulder injury.
Oh, what the hell?
So you'd think, didn't he have a shoulder? No, he had an ankle injury last year, right?
A lingering ankle, and I think he might have had a knee before that.
So, very surprising, which...
He must have been talking his way out of town. That's all I'm really getting.
Last week, he did post on his Instagram that he was planning on retiring after this year, potentially.
I was thinking that. I was wondering if he was going to... This is his last season, his last go-around, or at least this is what he's thinking. And he went to a championship-caliber team that is no longer that. They're not in the running anymore without Aaron Rodgers. So now it's like, well, just let me go. Let me take one more shot at this. And
then I'm out.
I'm going to be printing children's books for the rest of my life.
That makes the most sense. I mean, people are like, well, why do you leave? Why do you, you know, what happened in blah, 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 and, you know, and in Green Bay and this and that and the other thing. It's like, well, exactly that. He thought he was going to a winning team and they suck.
Well, why the hell did this happen a week after the trading deadline?
I don't know, Sean.
All right.
No,
holes in my own theories.
But so he has to clear waiver wires. I can't imagine too many bad teams he's going to want to sign with. So how does it work if he gets picked up by somebody he doesn't want to sign?
He has to go there. It's the waiver wire.
Yeah. Okay. So he's got an $8 million contract. We're 31st in line.
Are we?
Yeah, because we're the second best team in the league.
We are not. How many 6-2 teams are there? There's like 5 6-2 teams.
Well, they said we're 31st. I don't know. That's the article I read. I don't know if it's accurate or not. We could be whether it's accurate. We're 25th or lower.
Okay, sure.
We're the bottom quarter of the crew there. So there's quite a few teams that have to get to before us, and then us. I'd love to sign him. I think that
would
be huge.
Him.
I mean, get rid of Dwayne Allen, ship him off, cut him immediately. Waltz Marty back in if he's not injured, or if he's healthy enough where he's going to play in a week or two. Great. If not, maybe you keep Dwayne Allen around for a little bit, just a little bit, and then cut him. But if that happens, I mean, it's almost feeling a little bit like a LeGarrette Blount situation in 2014.
Yeah, it feels kind of like fate. As soon as right? I heard about it, I was like, oh, shit, wouldn't this be perfect? What's ailing our offense? Red zone efficiency. He's a massive red zone target. He can block better than Dwayne Allen has been blocking. He's a far better receiver. We can run a lot of the two tight end sets that have been so successful in the past, something that we weren't able to do last year because Gronk got injured.
And we can't do this year because Dwayne Allen sucks.
Because Dwayne Allen sucks, yeah, exactly. So it would work out marvelously. And you mentioned the $8 million cap hit. It's more than halfway through the season, so that goes down to $4 million or less.
Mm-hmm.
We have over $5 million in cap space, so we could fit him. It's not like we would need to clear space in order to fit him. We probably would clear space.
Right.
But it wouldn't be completely necessary. Now, with the waiver wire, I can't imagine he won't get claimed by somebody before us.
I know.
I feel like that's got to happen unless teams are insisting upon a physical, because I don't think you get to give somebody a physical. No, you definitely don't, because the waiver wire is only 24 hours, so he can't be flying around giving physicals everywhere.
Right.
So,
and the other thing is,
that could scare teams off.
People are going to inquire, you know, with the Packers and say, I'm sure, what went wrong?
Yeah, and they might say, I don't know.
They might
be mum. Who knows?
They might be mum. They might say it was, he had an injury he didn't tell us about, which is stunning. I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me. Or they might say, you know what, he's not going to play for you unless you're a winning team.
Yeah.
He'll just fucking retire.
I know, right? Wouldn't that be? Yeah, he just won't report or whatever.
I mean, it kind of seems that way. If he came out last week when his team started sucking and he's like, yeah, I might retire after this year, and then all of a sudden they cut him.
His team started sucking a month ago.
Well, maybe he started to realize that, you know, it ain't going to happen. Maybe he had some faith in the backup.
Nobody else did.
But so if he came back, that'd be a huge little spark right there.
That would be massive. And everyone, as far as I can remember, had good things to say about him. I know we didn't make much of an effort to re-sign him. I thought that was a price, at least at the time, I thought that was an age and price thing.
Well, they wanted Dwayne Allen. It was apparent to me they liked what they got from Dwayne Allen. They liked what they got for, you know, what they had to give up for him. They wanted, Bills wanted him for a long time. They liked his contract they were going to get. They liked everything about it, and they figured, oh, let's try this out. And it has failed miserably.
Yeah, yeah, the bottom fell out. I would love to see him back. I think he would fit in perfectly with this offense and with the injuries that you have, with obviously Edelman out and then Hogan missing extended time and Philip Dorsett coming along kind of slowly. Yeah, I think it would be a huge boost.
Huge.
It'd be a huge boost.
All of a sudden now you have him and Gronk on the field at the same time again. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, we only saw him for like two games last year.
Yeah.
I also want to point out that the Pats will be staying in Denver for next week in preparation of their matchup the following week in Mexico City against the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
So, little known fact, Mexico City is like 7,500 feet above sea level, and that's a mile and a half for those of you, analytically challenged. They're going to be acclimating there. And the last time that the Pats spent a week on the road together, San Diego in 2014, and
yes, sir.
A lot of the people on that team said that that was a big turning point in terms of that team cohering into a championship bunch.
Yep, absolutely.
Let's hope for the same thing. I also wanted to bring up one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
Last weekend, the Seattle Seahawks clock operator fucked up, and I said fucked up, but what I really mean is cheated, by not running the clock after a sack. Russell Wilson gets sacked with, I think, 11 seconds to go in the game. Clock operator stops the clock on a sack, and then the clock doesn't move. The play clock is running, and 18 seconds have gone by on the play clock when the referees decide to review the play. And you go, well, it would have been over. By 7 seconds, the game would have been over if not for this guy, quote-unquote, fucking up.
Yeah.
Cheating. And then they reviewed it. They decided it was an incomplete pass instead of a sack. And then they throw a Hail Mary, which was nearly completed. And what would have been the difference in that game?
In Gillette Stadium, there would have been hell to pay.
People would be losing their mind. You there's no doubt we'd lose a draft pick. There's just no doubt. And everybody would be thinking that, like, Bill Belichick is on the headset with the clock operator. Okay, run it, stop.
Yeah.
And just that's not – so the double standard really pisses me off. I am also reminded of 2 or 3 weeks ago when Michael Lombardi on his podcast, which is a great podcast, you guys should listen to it, he was talking about the Seattle Seahawks at home. Their clock operator ran off 4 seconds on a running play twice. And in the 2-minute drill when they were playing against the Texans in that like big shootout game,
it might have
actually been the game before against the Texans. But again, the Seattle clock operator stopping the clock while the Seahawks have the ball inside of 2 minutes
on
plays. Yeah, that should be running the clock. That team is so filthy. Always. How many people got suspended on that team for PEDs? How many times have they violated off-season practice conditions? Nobody talks about them as cheaters.
No, remember not when, a one. Wasn't it a couple years ago too when Sherman did something?
Well, it was like some kind of collusion. Appealed twice and got out of it.
But there was something that happened that we were like, "Oh, they're definitely going to get a draft pick stolen." And they were like, "Oh no, they just made a mistake." Remember that?
I think it was the off-season practice thing. It was their third time violating the off-season practice rules. Three times. How many strikes do you get before you actually get punished? Instead of, I think they dock them one practice. They go, all right, well, you just lost one of your OTAs. Really? That's it? You can just break the rules, flaunt them all the time, repeatedly, year after year, and not get punished?
It
fucking fires me up.
It is bullshit. Well, what are you gonna do? Write a formal letter, Sean.
Yeah, I should. Why don't I'll just email a copy of this podcast, just a snippet, and go, please refute this and tell me how this is different from a football weighing a half a pound per square inch less than it should be under ambient conditions, but you measured it when it was cold. Okay. And that's got to be the end of it, because
that's
otherwise
my
head's going to explode.
Let's hope we get Marty Bennett tomorrow, boys.
Marty Bennett, yeah. Woo! That'll be the first thing I look up tomorrow morning, without a doubt.
Absolutely. Who signed him?
Okay.
Well, all right, then.
Thank you guys for tuning in. Good luck to the Pats on Sunday Night Football. Let's hope they keep the one-game winning streak in Denver alive.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. All right. Here's to a good second half of the season.
Here we go. Adios.
See y'all later.
Peace.